have a word of prayer while you find in your place. Just pray for the day today. Pray for some of the requests we've made mention of. Lord knows knows what the needs of the hour are, and let's trust Him to meet the needs. Today's a special day, and looking forward to the day, excited about the day, and praying that the Lord will pass by and give us exactly what we need on this Lord's Day. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to help us today. Brother Jordan texted me last night. He's been sick. They may be slipping in here. I hadn't heard from him this morning. But regardless, he's been sick. And then Charlie and Janine's been sick. Man, if you're well, if you're half well today, you're doing better than most of us are, okay? But we're glad you're here. Let's pray for those that are not here that are sick, that could be here or would like to be here, and we'll trust that the Lord will help them today. Brother Mark, would you pray for us this morning and pray for the Sunday school hour, the Lord speak to our hearts. Amen. Thank you, Brother Mark. All right, Mark chapter 14, we're going to have combined Sunday school here this morning. And I'm going to begin our reading in verse number 12. I've done this the last several years when I was pastoring in my first church through the month of October. I emphasize the ministry of your pastor. And I want to say a few things before I even read this. You'll never overemphasize that. I guess maybe you could, but we're not going to overemphasize it this month. And by the grace of God, we'll never overemphasize it. We believe that God gives pastors, according to Ephesians chapter number 4, that God gives churches pastors to lead them and direct them. And we'll deal with that throughout the month of October and looking forward to that. And two, as your pastor, I want you to understand, I'll never get anybody come in and be a hired gun to preach something to you that I won't preach to you myself. And as a pastor, there's some things we don't like dealing with. It's uncomfortable, but if it's in the Bible, God put me here to teach you and direct you and preach to you those truths. And so I'm just going to pin my ears back and probably just teach this morning, but we'll preach through the month. And looking forward to what the Lord does for us. Mark chapter 14 and verse number 12, the Bible said, "The first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, Where wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover? And he sendeth forth two of his disciples and saith unto them, Go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water, follow him. And wheresoever he shall go in, say ye to the goodman of the house, The master saith, Where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared, there make ready for us. And his disciples went forth and came in the city and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And in the evening, he, that being Christ, and he cometh with the 12. Now this morning, as we consider this passage of scripture, I want you to bear with me just a second. I'll give you my thought and we'll get where we want to go. When you understand this, the disciples have come to the Lord in verse number 12. And their question to him is, where wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover? And so they're getting ready to partake of this time of the Passover meal together. And according to verse number 13, the Bible said that Christ sendeth two of his disciples. If you'll study the parallel passages in the gospel, you'll find that he sent Peter and John, and that they were sent forth as his disciples to go back and to go make preparation. It was going to be their charge. It was going to be charged with the responsibility of going to make preparation for this Passover meal. And in the end of the story, we understand the Lord's going to meet them there, and disciples are going to enjoy had that upper room experience with the Lord, where he's going to reveal truths to them and reveal doctrine to them. He's going to reveal himself to them in a very unusual way. I'm interested in this morning as Jesus' instructions were for them to find the man with the water. Notice what he said. He said in verse 13, "And he sendeth forth two of his disciples and saith unto them, Go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him." Our Lord said, we're going to have the Passover meal. I'm going to send Peter and John. And the way you're going to know how to get where I'm going to eat with you and reveal myself to you and have this last meal with you as my disciples together with my church, he said, I want you to go into town and find a man bearing a pitcher of water. And when you find him, the Bible said, Christ said, I want you to follow him. You see, this man would lead them to where Christ wanted them to be. He's going to do some great things in their lives individually, but he's going to send them to a man that is going to lead them and get them to the place where Christ can do that. I want to look at this man bearing the pitcher of water and the command of the Lord this morning as that the Lord gave as a type of your pastor, a picture of your pastor this morning in bearing water. Notice several comparisons this man with the water to a pastor. Notice with me, he can be compared to your pastor in his rank. The Bible said, and Christ said, go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water. That is a job of a servant. The rank of this man that is bearing the water is likely a servant or slave, as bearing water was the job of a servant. He wasn't the mayor in town. He wasn't the governor in town. He wasn't the lord over a company. This man was a servant. He was a man sent by his master in the town to go to the well and to bear water. And that's what a pastor is to be. A pastor is a servant. And I understand and believe and preach, and we adhere to here at Calvary, that doctrine of pastoral authority. We believe the pastor has authority, but in that authority, he is a servant of Christ for the people of God, in being a servant of the Lord. And often Paul referenced himself as the servant or the prisoner of Christ. Other places, he likened himself to a slave. A pastor in his rank is to be a servant. There's many a man in America today and around the world and think because they stand behind the pulpit that they are a lord or some sort of dictator over God's people. And while we accept authority and we accept the responsibility of a pastor to lead us, we understand that a pastor's job is to be a servant to those who come by. And so in his rank, this man bearing the water is a picture of you, pastor. Notice with me, secondly, not only in his rank, but in his responsibility. Notice what the Lord said about him again. He said, go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water. What is this man doing? We don't know what all he does. We know one responsibility he has, that is to get up in the morning every day and go to the well bearing a pitcher, lower his bucket down, and draw water up out of the well and bring it back to the house to those that are thirsty. Understand, this man, according to this passage we know, had only one job, was to go to the well and bear some water. Go to the well and bear some water. I consider this, that your pastor has responsibility of going to the well of the Word of God and bearing water out for those who come to the Father's house. Amen. That's a pastor's job. He ain't to be your puppet. He ain't to be, amen. And I believe a pastor can be your friend, but before he's your friend, he's your pastor, and he has responsibility to go to the well and draw some water out and be bearing a pitcher of water for those that come to the Father's house. Notice with me, in his rank, in his responsibility, but in his reproach, this man is a picture. I see a picture of your pastor. We kind of flying through this. Want to get somewhere this morning. Hang with me. Amen. Notice what the Lord said. Go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man man bearing a pitcher of water. What this man did, listen, when I think of a man, I don't think of a manly man being somebody bearing a pitcher of water. Amen? That what this man is doing seems insignificant. There is, if you will, a measure of reproach. What he did seemed insignificant to those around him, but notice his trash used him and what he did to lead others where trash wanted them to be. It seems insignificant. If I was going to say, I want you to follow somebody, I don't know that I would have, Brother Jerry, picked out some man bearing a pitcher of water. That's what Christ said. Once you go find a man that's bearing water, it's going to seem insignificant. It's not going to make sense to you. You're not going to understand why it's him and why it wouldn't be somebody else that seemingly was doing something far greater, far more important. But what you're to do, find the man bearing the pitcher of water, and when you find him, follow him. The reproach, note at what this man with the water did only seemed insignificant to those around him until they got thirsty. Amen. When they get thirsty, they're going to thank God somebody got up in the morning and somebody spent the time laboring to get to the well, drawing something out of the well, and bearing a pitcher of water back to the master's house. Amen. When you got thirsty, you'd be thankful that somebody had got up and bared the pitcher of water. In 2014, many pastors are taken for granted and are considered insignificant, and people go about their lives doing their own thing. But can I say, there'll come a day that you'll get thirsty and you'll have a need, and you'll thank God somebody was willing to get up and go bear the pitcher of water. How many days have you been down, had a need, and you made your way to the Father's house, and you found a man of God that had been faithful to bear the pitcher of water, go to the well, and get something for you in your time of need. Amen. In reproach, listen, there's a reproach. It is bare in being a man bearing a pitcher of water. My friend Trash used him to get these men where they needed to be. Now notice this, number four, we're still in introduction. Notice with me, this man can be compared to your pastor, not only in his rank and in his responsibility and in his reproach, but notice this, in his road. In his road, the Bible said, go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him. Notice with me in verse number 15, and he will show you a large, notice this, upper room. Notice with me, this man is found in the city. He's found around the well. Evidently, he's been near the well. And the Lord said, go in the city, and you find him. When you find him, follow it. And when you follow him, here's what he's going to do. He's going to lead you to the upper room. And to put it this way, he's going to lead you to higher ground. He's going to lead you to another level. He's going to, amen, he's going to bump you up a step. If you'll find him and you follow it, amen, you won't be as low as you were when you found him. And can I say, that's the road of this man. The path of your pastor is to lead you to higher ground. Amen. Listen, I'm a firm believer in meeting people where they are, and my friend, taking them where they are, but leading them to higher ground. You ought not be today where you were 5 years ago. Amen. And God is using pastors in our lives and preachers in our lives and men of God in our lives as that spiritual authority. We're to follow them, as Christ said, follow me as I follow Christ. As I keep my eyes upward, I'll be leading you upward, and follow me as I follow the Lord. Amen. Listen, I am and you are what you are today. If there's anything good in you, it's come through a man of God preaching and expounding and declaring to you the truths of the Word of God, and if at times in your life taking you to another level, raising you and leading you to higher ground. And so we see in his rank, we see in his responsibility, in his reproach, and in his road, that this man with the pitcher of water is a picture of your pastor. Are you thankful? Amen. Listen, are you thankful for your pastor? Now, October is what they call Pastor Appreciation Month. And you've had a good pastor. He slipped in on us for 40 years. You've had a good pastor. And I'm trying to be a good pastor over the last year. And in the next 39 years, if the Lord don't come, are you listening? Amen. Our responsibility as a pastor is to lead you to higher ground. And sometimes we do it with y'all kicking and screaming. Amen. Sometimes we do it dragging. Amen. But our job is that road leading you from where you are, amen, to higher ground, getting you to the upper room, and that's what I deal with in just a moment. Notice with me, number 5, by way of introduction, he's a picture of your pastor in his reward. In his reward, notice this man is not mentioned again after he leads these men to the upper room. There's not no mention. In fact, when you study this passage of Scripture, we're not given his name. The Lord doesn't seemingly gives him no accolades. He's not given any kind of compensation. We're not told that the Lord ever paid him for doing what he did. But listen, his reward, I think in picture this morning is spiritual, and that he is satisfied just getting men to the place where Christ is going to be. You see, your pastor finds his reward when you're drawn closer to Christ. Amen. Now, we believe that a church ought to take care of the pastor, and y'all have, and you do. And we're thankful. I'm thankful for that. Amen. Listen, I'm thankful for that. It's biblical, it's right, and we'll say more about that through the month as we go through this. And the Lord's blessed us. We're seeing folks saved, new folk coming in. We want you to know that that's biblical and that's right. But listen what I'm getting ready to say. A real pastor would trade every last dollar that is given to him in compensation for his ministry just to know that the crowd he pastors is being drawn closer to Christ. I mean this from the bottom of my heart, and amen, I guess maybe I hope the Lord don't push me here to where I have to do it, but I'd move my family in a single wide trailer if it meant knowing you'd live for God. Amen. A pastor's reward is not, thank God for the physical and the monetary, and you'll never be too good to God's man, but his reward is not necessarily found in what you give him and what you do for him. It's found in you simply getting to the place in your life where Christ can speak to you, and you're drawn closer to the Lord, and you have experiences with the Lord where you, my friend, are more today than what you were last year. Amen. And his reward, his road, his reproach, his responsibility, his rank. Notice with me the command of Jesus to these men when they find the man with the water. Would you agree with me? I think he serves as a good picture of a pastor. But notice what Christ's command was to these men. If you can find a man, if you can find a man willing to get up, do his job, and suffer the reproach and walk the road, And just, my friend, do what he's supposed to do. Here's what Christ said to Peter and John. Follow him. Follow him. If you can find a man in a city that is willing to bear water and go to the well and bring something that will quench the thirst of your soul and bring something that will wash the dirt off of you, if you can find a man that is willing to bear water out of the well, if you find a man in a city like that, Christ said your job is to follow him. Amen. And so I want to teach for a minute. I'm about to get worked up and get to preaching, but I want to teach this morning on this thought. Follow the man with the water. Follow the man with the water. Amen. That is your job today as a child of God, as a member of Calvary Baptist Tabernacle, is, my friend, amen, find the man with the water and follow him. Follow him. Amen. Notice this with me. The word follow simply means, the phrase follow him simply means this. It means to be in the same way with. Be in the same way. Get in the same way that your pastor is. Amen. Notice this. It means to accompany as a disciple. Do you remember what the Lord said when he called the disciples? He said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. He was calling them to discipleship. That's what the word here means. Christ is saying, when you find the man bearing the pitcher of water, you get in the same way, walk the same path, live the same road, and you become a disciple. You accompany him on that road as a disciple of his. Are you listening? Now listen, you're a disciple of the Lord. You're saved by the Lord. The Lord is the one that changed your life. And I believe this morning, I know it can be taken too far, but Jared, there is a dire need in churches across our day to get behind their pastor and become disciples and get in the same way with their pastor. Amen. If he's bearing water, if he's going the well, and he's doing what he's been called to do and saved to do, amen, Christ said, get in the same way, be a disciple of that, and you'll get where I can do something in your life. Notice this with me this morning. Follow the man with the water. Notice that they would meet a lot of different men. He sent them in the city. There's probably hundreds and if not thousands or tens of thousands of different men they're going to see and they're going to meet and they're going to be impressed with. But the Lord said, you need to be looking for one man, the man bearing the water. Amen. Don't get sidetracked with anybody else. Find the man bearing the water, and when you find him, follow him. Amen. He didn't say, turn your radio on and find you some preacher on the radio and follow him. Woo! Amen. He didn't say, find your favorite expositor on your, amen, favorite religious programming on the TV and follow him. He said, you find a man that you can put your eye on and your confidence in, bearing water, and when you find him, just get in the same way with him. Amen, amen, and amen. Ain't we having a time? It gets better or worse, however you see it. Jesus could have gave them directions, could have gave them an address, and they could have punched it in their GPS and got them straight the upper room. But the Lord didn't do it that way. He said, find a man bearing water, and when you find him, follow him. He'll get you where you need to be. Is that right? Amen. We got a bunch of lone wolves in our churches think they're going to do it on their own. Apart from a pastor, you are sadly mistaken, friend. Christ could do it that way. But the way the Lord has set it up, he gave somewhat apostles and prophets, you know the verse over there, and pastors and teachers. Amen. That's what he's given to get men to where they need to be. Perfecting the saints and working the ministry, the edifying the body of Christ until we all come to that day when the Lord calls us home and we're found in the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ, you're going to need a pastor. Amen. This lazy boy lay on the couch mentality of our day, amen, is not what God has in mind. He said, you find a man that's bearing water and you follow him. Amen. Amen. You say, I don't need a pastor. Well, you must be better than what the Bible says you are. Amen. Jesus said you can't do it on your own. Go out in the city, find a man, put your confidence in him, follow him, and he'll get you where you need to be. Amen. All right. Notice this. Nowhere in Christ's command were they to scrutinize or criticize the way he was leading. He just said follow him. They don't know where they're going. They don't know where the upper room is. Hang with me now, and I've had people get mad at me for preaching this. They don't know how to take another step up without the man bearing the water. You say, well, that puts the pastor way up. No, it don't. Don't forget, he's just a servant. Amen. He's got to walk that road. He's got to go to the well and go from the well to the upper room and lead a crowd with him. It don't mean that he's any greater than you. It just means you ain't going to get where you need to be till you learn to follow the man with the water. Amen. It's amazing. People ain't ever pastored a rabbit patch. Want to scrutinize and criticize a pastor how he pastors the church. Amen. Amen and amen. Ain't ever run nothing. Amen. Ain't ever led a thing. But then they'll criticize and scrutinize the way that Christ is using their pastor to lead. Christ said when you find him, you don't have to scrutinize him. You don't have to criticize him. When he turns left, you don't have to argue about how you need to go right. He said just follow him. When he turns, you turn. When he steps up, you step up. Amen. When he gets through obstacles, you get through obstacles. Don't criticize and scrutinize. Follow him. Follow the man with the water. Here's my question, why? Why follow the man with the water? I want to give you three things quickly and I'll be done. Lord, have mercy. Everybody okay? The significance concerning this command, find the man bearing the pitcher of water and follow him. Number one, where's he going to take us? Number one, he's going to take you to the place of the Passover with Christ. Notice what the Bible said again in verse number 12. His disciples said unto him, where wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover? Notice what the Bible said in verse number 14. And wheresoever he shall go in, speaking of the man bearing the pitcher of water at there to be found, he said, say ye the goodman of the house. The master saith, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? The purpose of these men following the man with the water was so he could take them to the place where they could remember and celebrate the Passover. You know this, I don't have to preach this morning, but you know the Passover is one of the great types of Calvary and redemption in the Word of God. And I say when you learn to find the man and follow the man with the water, he's going to lead you to the place where you can enjoy and celebrate. Amen. Over the fact that Christ went to Calvary and gave his life and shed his blood and died that you can be saved. There's joy in following the man with the water. He'll teach you how to enjoy that. Amen. Listen, when you follow your pastor, it leads you to a place of enjoying and celebrating Calvary and your redemption. Listen, the blood and preaching about the blood and singing about the blood and living by the blood, listen, it won't mean much to you till you learn to follow a pastor. Amen. You need a pastor if you're going to get the place. I've never seen anybody ever enjoy being saved that couldn't follow a man of God God put in their life. You'll lose your joy. You'll lose your shout. Amen. Christ said, follow him, and when you get there, make preparation for the Passover that time. And I don't have time to get into all this, but Christ knew what he was getting ready to go and do, and he's going to enjoy this meal that is going to be a very pure picture of everything that Christ is going to do on their behalf. And can I say, when you learn to, amen, quit fussing and fighting and feuding and cussing, man of God, and you just get in the same way and become a disciple and follow him in the Word of God and follow him in the things of God, he's going to lead you to the place where you can enjoy being saved. Being saved is not a grudge. Being saved is not a bore. Being saved, Matt was talking about it this morning, Brother Dean, about the abundant life. When I got saved, I got eternal life. When I got saved, I got everlasting life. When I got saved, thank God I got something and I cannot lose. And I'm grateful for Calvary this morning. And as I listen to God's men, as I let a man that God has put in my life lead me, he teaches me how to enjoy joy what Christ said when he said the thief cometh but for to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. But I've never met any church member that had any joy and was constantly bucked up against their pastor. You got to learn to follow the man with the water. When you do that, friend, and you die to yourself and you die to what you think is right and you die to everything that you want the way for it to be, friend, it opens the way and the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, and he can lead you into that upper room where you can enjoy being saved. It's hard to come into church and enjoy church when the man that's preaching to you trying to lead you to the place to celebrate and be excited and enjoy being saved and enjoy, amen, the work that Christ did at Calvary when you bucked up against him. Amen, the place of the Passover with Christ, number two. Everybody with me. He's going to lead you. Follow the man with the water. He'll take you to the place of the Passover with Christ. But number two, he'll take you to the place of the presence of Christ. This man, they meet him in the city. He's going to lead them probably down some roads they don't understand why they're going down. He's going to maybe lead them through some rough sides of town that maybe there's some danger there. But the Lord said, just follow him. Everywhere he goes, just follow him. You're not going to understand why he does what he does, why he goes the way that he goes. But just keep following him, because he's going to get you down to the master's house, and he's going to lead you to the upper room, and it's in that upper room. I already know where I'm going to meet you. You've got to get to the place where I'm going to be, where I'm going to reveal myself, where I'm going to teach you things you've never heard. You're going to have to follow the man with the water if you're going to get to where Christ is going to be. Amen. Listen, he's going to lead them to the place where Christ is going to show up and make himself real to his people. The upper room, listen to what I'm going to tell you right here. The upper room experience was one of the most intimate times the disciples ever had with Jesus. You study the life of the Lord. He did some amazing things. There were times that there are different scenes in the ministry of the Lord that I would have loved to have been in on and seen with my own eyes. But I suppose there's no more intimate time, Brother Mark, in all the Lord's ministry whereby the Lord sat down and closely drew his disciples in and revealed in the upper room, he revealed things to them there that he never revealed the 3.5 years earlier in his ministry. There are things he said he never said to anybody else, and he said it in the upper room. There are things that he did to them disciples and for them disciples, and he never did anywhere else. Are you listening? And they got there because they followed the man with the water. Amen. Listen, you say, boy, I want the Lord to be real to me. I want to experience the presence of Christ, and I'm thankful for what we have on Sundays and Wednesdays and revivals and in our gathering together in prayer rooms. But listen, I'm talking about on Mondays when you're all alone. You know how you get there when the presence of Christ is real Monday and Tuesday and Thursdays and Fridays and Saturdays? Learn to follow the man with the water. Amen. Amen. Watch this. Hallelujah. This is good right here. If we had time, we'd go to John 13. You remember what the Lord did? You remember what the Lord did in the upper room? Bible said he girded himself. And he grabbed a basin of water, and he washed the disciples' feet. Here's my question. Where'd the water come from? The man, amen, the old servant man, everybody thinks is so insignificant. They sneer at him when he walks down the road. Look at him, there he goes to the well. All he does all the time is go to the well. He gets some water and he goes back. He's so insignificant. My friend, when the Lord met them and the presence of Christ filled the upper room, amen, the Lord went to cleaning the disciples. He went to washing them. He went to getting the dirt off their faith, out of their walk and out of their life. And what he used to clean them up came from the man that got up and was willing to bear the pitcher of water. What I'm saying is, amen, if you learn to follow him, amen, the man bearing the water gets you the place where Christ will show up and he'll begin to clean your life up using what the man was bearing in the pitcher of water. Amen. You tell me you don't need a pastor, and I'm going to tell you you're a crazy person. If you're going to live a clean life, if you're going to live for God and walk for God, you're going to have a pastor that you can follow to lead you to the presence of Christ where the Lord can clean your life up. How am I doing? I know I ain't preaching, I'm teaching. Are we okay? Amen. The presence of Christ. Thank God for the times that God has used men that had been to the well and had a little bit of water, and they got me around the Lord. They got me to another level. They got me around the presence of Christ. And I am what I am and stand where I stand today because some men were faithful about water, and the Lord used it to clean my life up. Amen. Hallelujah. You'll find that John 13, 4 and 5, number 3, and I'm done. The place of Passover, the place of the presence of Christ. Notice with me the place of the preparation for Christ. Notice what the Lord said in our text, verse 15. And he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared. There make ready for us. And his disciples went forth and came in the city, and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. Is that what your King James Bible said? Here's what the Lord said. He said, you want to eat Passover with me? Go in the city. Find a man bearing the pitcher of water. Find him. When you find him, but Gerald, follow him. He's going to lead you through some ways you're not going to understand, but you just turn when he turns. You go up when he goes up. You go through when he goes through. And he's going to get you to the place when you walk in the house, he's going to lead you up another level to the upper room, and I'm going to meet you there. But when he gets you there, you've got a job to do. You need to get ready. The man bearing the pitcher of water is going to lead them to the room of preparation. Now listen to me. The Lord's coming. The Lord already knows it's going to be a few hours, and he's going to enter in. Hallelujah. He knows it ain't going to be long. And when they don't know when he's going to come. They don't know what time he's going to show up. But sometime as the sun is setting, the Lord is going to open a door and he's going to step in and he's going to be there. And my friend, they're going to be with the Lord. Amen. Some of y'all are not getting it. They followed the man with the pitcher of water to an upper room, and the Lord said, when you get there, you better get ready because you don't know when I'm going to show up. Yeah, man. You see, this man led these men to the upper room, but it was their responsibility to make ready. Now, here's a statement I want to make. Let me give you this, and then I want to make a statement. This phrase, make ready, gives reference to an oriental custom of those sent before a king on his journey to reveal the roads and make them passable. That man bearing the pitcher of water, he's leading them, and then they get there, and then the Lord said, when you get to that upper room where we're going to have Passover, where I'm going to show up, he said, your job is make sure you make way to get ready for the king. The king's coming. Amen. Notice this with me. Here's a statement I want to make. Two statements. Number one, your pastor can only take you so far. But he can take you to the place where you decide to get ready. Amen. I can't make you live for God. I can't make you ready for the coming King. Amen. Preacher Wells couldn't do it. If he couldn't do it, I sure can't do it. Are y'all listening? I can't make my youngins live for God. I can't make my church live for God. But I tell you what can happen. A pastor can lead you to the place. He can take you to the point where you make up your mind, I want to be ready when the King comes. Amen. Hallelujah. Notice with me, he can get you to the place where you're ready when Jesus comes. Can I remind you the King is coming? Can I remind you today Jesus is coming again? Amen. Some of y'all are not ready today. Hey, I love you, but some of y'all's not ready. You're saved and you're going to go, but you're not ready. What did Paul say? Paul said, I am ready to be offered. You're saved, but you're not ready. Amen. And it ain't Preacher Wells' fault. And it ain't Preacher Jeff's fault. We can only take you so far. Your pastor can only take you so far. Lead you to the very stairs of the upper room. But until you get willing to walk the stairs and put the labor and the effort in and say, you know what? I've been led this far. I've been led well. I'll get ready. Because just any day now, John said in Revelation 4, I saw a door open. Amen. One of these days, the door's going to open. The Lord's stepping through. I want to be found. I want to be found having followed the man with the water. Father, I love you today. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for our church. I want to thank you, Lord, for the good heritage here. Lord, the good pastor, Lord, that was here before us. And Lord, we're just honored to be here, Lord, even today. Today, Lord, in the ministry and enjoying, Lord, all that you're doing here. I pray, Father, would you help us today? We sure do need you. Lord, I pray in the days and the years that are to come until the trump sounds and the Lord calls us home, help us to be faithful to the good truths delivered to our hearing today. And Lord, we'll bless you for it. Bless the service here in a moment. Anoint the choir, fill him with the Spirit of God. Help us to put all our heart in it and worship you. Lord, I pray you'd fill Preacher Wells. Use him today to speak to our hearts. God, give us something, Lord, we can live by. Convict sinners, God, today. Save somebody in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, let's take a few minutes here. Fellowship. Have a good time. Run the bathroom. We'll fire up about 10 minutes, okay?